Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way. From design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/Green Festival.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes' Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
She did 3 years at one of the world's largest hedge funds, went back to study, really understand, Tim, how they organized their work, how it restricted access, and just trying to get an understanding away from all the sensational headlines when it comes to the hedge fund world.
What are we talking about? We're talking about Megan Tobias Neely, assistant professor in the Department of Organization at Copenhagen Business School. She joins us now on the phone from Denmark. Megan's also the author of Hedged Out, Inequality and Insecurity on Wall Street. Megan, how are you?
Good. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us. I want to get to more on the book in just a minute, but first I want to hear a little bit more about your journey, because you did work as a research analyst at BlackRock. A little more than a decade ago. So take us into your journey of working in the hedge fund world and then becoming an assistant professor and writing this book.
Yeah, absolutely. So I worked at BlackRock right out of undergrad as a research kind of support position, and I did all kinds of research on hedge funds that they were invested in. So everything from working on background checking to monitoring news, reviewing audited financial statements, all of these kind of information and plugging it in to help the work that the investment analysts making the investment decisions were doing. And what that did is just kind of gave me insight into a world I didn't know existed, and it really piqued my interest to study it because I realized what huge ramifications the hedge fund world has for society.
Well, I mean, it's interesting, too, because we certainly, right, the last few years in particular, maybe the last 5 to 10 years, we really upped up the amount of conversations we're having about how do we create and improve diversity and inclusive environments, and certainly in the financial community where it feels like it's been behind the times in a big way. You know, is it better? Do you like the hedge fund industry? I'm curious.
So what happened, or what kind of made me study the hedge fund industry in this particular way and look at their workplaces, is I kept reading industry reports about how as much as 97% of hedge fund investments are managed by teams led entirely by white men. And that mm-hmm. made me wonder, well, what about this industry enables such enormous concentration of wealth into such a small group of people's hands? And what about, you know, gender and race and workplaces? What can that tell us about it? And what I found is that when you really restrict access to people who aren't like you, whether you do it knowing that you're doing it, which a few cases of that came up, or if it's just on accident because you think you're just hiring people who are a good fit or who are like you, what happens is that means you create an environment where you can really dictate your own terms. And what I found is that this contributes to their ability to do things like charge higher fees, have higher incomes, pay lower capital gains taxes. And it's really the result of creating this social world that's for themselves that's kind of walled off from others and people who aren't like them.
How do you make the connection to from this idea of this elite club to actually those folks who make the rules and allow them to pay less in taxes and allow them to have these beneficial tax strategies? What's the connective tissue there?
Yeah, so this is something that came up in my ethnographic research as well as other research I've done just on the kind of the ties between the hedge fund world and government. So whether it's in the Oval Office or with lobbying, at conferences I went to and observed and participated in the hedge fund world, there were often politicians there, lobbyists. It was very clear that they were either connected in so many ways and doing things to, you know, put pressure on the government to make these conditions advantageous for them.
So, do you think things are getting better? Because I do think there's part of, you know, people are, I think there's an increased awareness, Megan, right, of maybe these unconscious bias, you know, biasness that's out there, or biases that are out there, you know. And I do you feel like, because I feel like the conversation over the last couple of years, maybe it's because of the pandemic, we're just talking a lot more about this. Do you feel like it's gotten better?
You know, I think that there is ways that people are more open to talking about it, but then also resistance on other forms. And this came up a lot in my research when I would tell them, you know, what I was doing, what the focus of the study was on. And so I'm a white woman, and I would say, oh, you know, I'm studying inequality in the hedge fund industry. And often people would say, yes, gender is a big problem. But then they would say, but race isn't, because it's a meritocracy. And so there, what I found is there's kind of resistance because of the way that inequality in the industry undermines this deep-seated belief in meritocracy, that everybody's there because they've worked hard, you know, and that and long hours have paid off.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. You need a company with extensive experience in specialized insurance. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and helping provide coverage that suits your needs. The Hartford offers insurance solutions that help mid to large-sized businesses, like yours, effectively manage risk, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. With extensive experience in underwriting, risk engineering services, and claims, The Hartford goes beyond the expected to deliver innovative, customizable solutions and service that your industry, that your business, demands. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's Stifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
You know success when you see it. Or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. Athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Megan, I want to go to get an understanding and contextualize this for our listeners right now. Take us through what you found in your research about the demographics of the hedge fund industry. And I think a lot of people wouldn't be surprised with it's overwhelmingly white male. But I'm also wondering how that compares to other industries, perhaps other parts of the financial industry, like private equity, for example. Is there a big difference between what you see in demographics wise in hedge funds versus other parts of finance, or is this a widespread issue with all of finance?
Yeah, I think this is a widespread issue of all finance, and that's what has come up in my other research that I've done on the financial sector more broadly. And this is something that comes up in these kind of skewed numbers, come up in private equity. It also comes up in venture capital, as well as when you go up the organization charts in investment banks and large asset managers. The more money and kind of rewards are held, the more homogenous the group of people who hold them is, and it's skewed very white and man, and held by white men.
So I love that you talk to a lot of individuals for your book. I think, you know, across the industry, lots of interviews, insiders in New York, Texas, California. So you really got a good feel. Tell us about some of those conversations, Megan, and what jumps out in terms of what you learned.
So I did conducted in-depth interviews with dozens of people working at hedge funds, and then I observed them and kind of participated with them in all kinds of conferences and networking events, so I could understand firsthand what they were explaining to me in their interviews. And there were a few things that really stuck out to me. So one is how relationship-based the industry is. So people learn mostly on the job at hedge funds. You don't really learn how to run a hedge fund in business school. You learn it by having kind of an apprentice relationship from a hedge fund manager. And so that relationship sort of is at the crux of these organizations and is what leads it to become so skewed towards supporting other men and other often other white people. And this came up, you know, even the people I interviewed described it as patrilineal. They said, you'll see these kind of relationships where one generation teaches the next generation who teaches the next. And that really struck me because you don't think of that. It sounds so sort of old-fashioned. You don't think of that as happening on Wall Street in this kind of master-apprentice way, but it really does.
I'm wondering about implications of this and really what you were able to find.
Yeah, so one thing that what happens with this is that you end up with hedge fund managers who groom people who look like them, who remind them of themselves, kind of into their style of investments, and then they often actually invest in them. So they might provide money to seed money to start an investment firm, and this bolsters their own wealth. So a classic example of that is of the Tiger investment firms, Tiger Asset Management, and all the Tiger, what are called the Tiger Cubs and Grand Cubs, which are all these investment firms seeded by the original firm. And this allows these kind of tight networks, allow that all the people within them to then bolster their fortunes and make even more money. And what it does is it kind of solidifies their power over time as they pass these investments on from one generation to the next.
So if you were sitting down teaching a school at business school or getting up and doing a TED Talk, which you know you've got to kind of summarize it pretty quickly and get to it, what would be the main points you'd want to make? And I mean, do you find these institutions and the hedge fund community bad? Are they evolving?
Yeah, so I would say, you know, as a sociologist, I don't think of people as inherently good or bad, but mm-hmm. rather the product of where they work. And so in hedge funds, they face this unpredictable and risky stock market. The firms turn over. There's this sense of insecurity, even though they make, really large incomes, and then there's this prospect of exceedingly high rewards that kind of motivate them to protect their interests and network with one another and work exceedingly long hours. And what this does is it allows them to sort of hedge some people into this this club or this protective boundary, while also hedging other people out. And it is that act of keeping some out and others in and training them into their kind of model of investments and the way they run the organizations that then allows them to land these high incomes that are driving income inequality upwards in the United States and elsewhere.
Does the industry change, or does it even have the impetus to change?
So I think it has changed over time. I mean, it has become more institutionalized. It's bigger as, institutional investors have become the majority of the investors over time. There's more pressures, and that's kind of where perhaps the site for changing the demographics of the industry might come from, is from investors, large asset managers and pension funds saying we'd like to see change in how this is done. Of course, the people I interviewed also cited, though, that can create a fiduciary duty, a conflict of their fiduciary duty to provide the best returns in terms of how they invest. But at the same time, I think that source, that institutional source of change could perhaps put pressure on these firms to kind of change their practices and think a little more critically about who they hire, who they promote, and who they invest in.
Well, it's interesting. You write a lot about, as you've talked about the pipeline problems, but maybe we need to kind of think about it a little bit differently. Certainly a lot of food for thought. And Megan, we really appreciate your time today. Megan Tobias-Neely, she's assistant professor in the Department of Organization at the Copenhagen Business School. She joined us on the phone from Copenhagen, Denmark. Her book out, it's called Hedged Out, Inequality and Insecurity on Wall Street. And, I just think about the conversations that we've had about diversity and inclusion over the last couple of years. And we have to be careful not to necessarily be drawn to some of the sensational headlines and really look deeper into what's going on. And she really, had a good understanding of what's been going on in that industry.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way. From design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/greenfestival.